Time once again for our segment, Language Pet Peeves, where listeners write to us about words or phrases that drive them crazy. Joining us from member station KPBS in San Diego is our language expert, Richard Lederer. He's here to set us straight, or we'll argue one way or the other. Hi, Richard.
Hi, ready to straighten you out.
Okay, so let's go first to Hermosa Beach, California, where we have Larry Goldsmith on the line. And Larry, what's your language pet peeve?
It's a word anxious, the word anxious.
Okay, and what peeves you about it?
Well, it's constant misuse. People use it instead of the correct word, eager. Phrases such as, I'm so anxious to get my new car, or I've even heard professionals in the media business use it incorrectly.
So let me ask you this, sir. Were you anxious or eager about being on the show? Were you eager to be on the show or anxious about it?
Actually, a little bit of both.
Ah, okay. And you notice the form that I used, and that is you are eager to do something, but you can be anxious about. And for many people, anxious does have the concept of anxiety in it. So if you're worried or troubled, it probably is better to use anxious. But if you're not and you just want to do something, eager. Although I will tell you historically, anxious came in the 17th century with the meaning of concerned and troubled, but within 100 years it had picked up that meaning of eager, and many standard speakers and writers will use anxious for eager. But I think there are enough Larry Goldsmiths out there, and I'm wondering, are there enough Lisa Simeonis out there that we should make the distinction? Lisa, would you prefer that people say, I'm eager to talk with you rather than I'm anxious to talk to you?
I guess it depends on the person.
But I meant grammatically, actually.
I would say, of course, I want to hear, I'm eager to talk with you.
Yeah, so probably better to use eager unless you're actually anxious about something, Mr. Goldsmith.
I will remain cautious.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Goldsmith.
Thank you so much.
Larry Goldsmith from Hermosa Beach, California. We're going to go next, Richard, to Winnetka, Illinois, to talk to John Williams. And I'm so glad. Many people have written in about this one. It drives me crazy. And I'm going to let John Williams tell you what it is.
The word that I'm peeved by is proactive. This is a word that was invented only within the last few decades, I believe, and we don't need it. Active is a good, strong word. In my big dictionary, the first definition of active is constantly engaged in action. The opposite of passive is active. The opposite of reaction is action. One need not be proactive to be a doer. Activity and action get the job done.
Boy, am I with him there, Richard. I got to say, and it's certainly less than the past few decades. It's probably only the past 5 or 10 years, and it's consultant speak.
Biz speak and ad speak, and that's part of the problem. And as Mr. Williams said, I'm not sure you need me after all that he gave us, but who needs the pro, the positive pro, when we have active? Although it's more than just being active. Often it means forward thinking, forward looking. The point is, when a new word comes in, the question is, do we need it? And in this case, I don't think we do need it. And therefore, let's not have it, because it is very much of a vogue word, and I hope it will go out of fashion very soon.
Well, thank you, John Williams.
Pleasure.
John Williams of Winnetka, Illinois. And finally, we're going to talk to Dennis Tibbetts, who's from Columbus, Indiana. And Mr. Tibbetts, you wrote to us about one of your language pet peeves. What is it?
Well, it's this business of an history. You know, there's a simple rule in English that we all learned in grade school, and that's if the word after that article starts with a consonant, you use as in a fence or a box. And if it begins with a vowel sound, you'd use an, like an ox or an undertaker. And the rule holds as far as I know. I can't think of any exceptions except this business of an history.
Well, I confess I've heard an historical, but that's different. I've never heard anybody say an history. I've heard them say a history.
That would be the same thing, wouldn't it? Because it's the word after. It doesn't have to be the noun. It could be the adjective.
Well, Richard, right, do you think? I think it's a difference. I think they're different, but what do you think?
Okay, certainly, Mr. Tibbetts, you've enunciated the rule, and that is before a vowel sound, it's an. And I have to emphasize sound, because in the word a unit, it's actually a vowel at the beginning, but it sounds as though it begins with an initial Y. So you are absolutely right. And history would be ludicrous, because it's very clearly an H. The tougher one is something like a or an historic moment. And I can tell from Lisa that we're going to disagree, but here's my take on that. In historic, the H is sounded less, but it is still sounded. And it is still aspirated, but the emphasis is on the second syllable. And although it is a little harder to say an historic moment, a historic moment, because you're exhaling twice. Yes, you saw. Yes, I did. Oh, my petard just hoisted me, Lisa. But the point is, here's the point. I think many people will think that you're stuffy if you write or say an historic occasion, an historic moment. It's sort of like putting a coat of arms on your stationery. It's a little musty. It's a little British. And I would suggest, certainly before history, but also before historic, that you go with the rather than the an.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Well, it's two against one. I'm definitely on the side of an historical, though a human. I think they're different because of the stress. But anyway.
And Lisa, great to live in a land in which we can disagree in public and still enjoy each other and language pet peeves.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tibbetts.
It's my pleasure.
Dennis Tibbetts of Columbus, Indiana. Well, listeners, thanks once again for your language pet peeves. Obviously, we can't fit them all on the air, but keep sending them in. Our email address is watc@npr.org. Please include both your home and work phone numbers so we can get a hold of you and tell us how to pronounce your name. We'll call you, and you can join us for the next installment of Language Pet Peeves with Richard Lederer. Thanks a lot, Richard.
Thank you again for this great opportunity to celebrate language with you.